We've been talking about unsavory and unsung heroes. Today is an unsung, you could say. You got notes if you're new. We hand out some notes if you'd like to follow along that way. I always encourage you to bring a Bible. That's great, as I use my iPad, huh? Yeah. And just follow along and make note of some things that maybe God's speaking to you and inviting you to. But I want to talk just for a minute about making room. You'll see that as a heading in your notes. It seems like a lot of us, myself being one of them, are asking God to do something new in my life, in our life. Maybe it's personally, so maybe you're asking him to do something personally. Definitely as a church, we are as well, just constantly asking that. And in addition to that, we're trying to discern and figure out, what's the next move? Where should we go? When there's nothing even really available right now, we've looked at some things, just nothing has panned out. God, one thing is we have no money. You know, I think someone joked, one of the elders said, we can buy a couple doors right now. You know what I mean? But even doing that, discerning, hey, God, you know, hey, debt and this and that, like, you know, we don't want to be caught up into something just for us. So we're asking questions, seeking God in what's next. So maybe it's something like for you, God, hey, open a door, or for us as a church, give us a breakthrough. There's probably many in here that are asking for those types of things. Show us your will. I want to know what to do next. Maybe you're making a change. Maybe you want to make a change. Answer this prayer, and then it's something about healing or help or whatever. I know some that are walking through, someone who's going to pass on to the Lord soon physically or have to make a move out of the valley. For us, again, it's provide a building or something different, right? And those are good prayers, so that's not a knock on any of that at all. I mean, keep praying that. Let God kind of work it out. You work it out with him. But what if the greatest miracle that God wants to do is not around us, but it's actually inside of us? Something more. And what if then, if that's true, or at least it is for you, what if the biggest obstacle to what God wants to do in your life is not his ability, or definitely not yours per se, it's your availability? And then let me tell you, if that's all true, what if when you look at that, you would say, there's not any room left in my life? I don't got any space left. Your calendar is full. Your schedule is full. Your homes are full. Like you're probably prepping for a yard sale, right? Like you've said for 100 years, we got to get rid of some stuff. But you find new places to put it. Or dudes just go get a storage shed and make it your man cave and live there. Our budgets are full. Got nothing left, man. Our minds get full. And I would propose that even sometimes our hearts are full. Like we're asking God to open doors, but the reality is God is actually asking us to open our hearts up to him. This big idea right from the beginning, just so you know, don't always give this to you right out of the gate, but it's this in your notes. A heart opened by God, and I even for myself just bolded and wrote big, by God, becomes a life opened for God. Like I need my heart and some internal stuff to change before some of the outward things can change. So today in our story, we meet a woman who has changed history, at least I'll propose to you that she has. She was not extraordinary. She seems very ordinary in some ways, but she made room. Her name's Lydia, found in Acts 16 if you want to turn there, and get ready. She never preached that we know of. She never performed a miracle. She did not write scripture. And yet without her, I would say that the church in Europe would look very different today. So let's walk through her story. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go to Acts 16. You can kind of follow along. I'm going to tell you a little bit, read a little bit, tell you a little bit, and wrap up with a verse. And then we'll give you some points. That's not all I'm going to do today, all right? In Acts 16, and really even before, if you want to go back, the book of Acts, awesome, of course, to read, but maybe you can go 15, read 16 if you want to go into 17. But Paul and his partners, Paul, whose life has been transformed, who used to be a killer of Christians, is now one himself and out preaching the gospel. Him and his partners are on a missionary journey. Now, there are multiple journeys they're going to go on. He wants to preach in Asia. So that's where he's going to start going. But it says in 16 there that as he started to go, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go that way. So he didn't. So then they go this way. The Holy Spirit says no. And that happens a couple times, two, three times. Then God gives him a vision of a man, it says, from Macedonia, who simply says, come help us. And there's a part in there that in the scripture, depending on your translation, it says, so they concluded it must be from God, so they went. I say that because sometimes you just do the next, we've talked about that already, do the next thing. Oh, is it God? We become more paralyzed sometimes trying to figure it all out when God sometimes, I think, just says, would you just pick something, Ron, and do it? They had no idea that God was doing something behind the scenes. So they go to Macedonia, and they go in Macedonia to a community called Philippi. That's familiar because I'll read it in a little bit. A letter is written to the Philippian church, the Philippi church. And you'll see the connection in a bit. And they had no idea that God was not leading them, it seems, to a man at all. He was actually leading them to a woman named Lydia, whose heart he had already prepared. I will say this all the time. I'll repeat it. God is always working. What we're really trying to do is join him in what he's already doing. Acts 16, verses 13 through 15. On the Sabbath, so they're there in Philippi. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought, because this was a normal thing, they thought maybe a Jewish community would be there, but whole nother story. We thought people would be meeting for prayer. So we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. Here she is. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira. She was a merchant of expensive purple cloth. Big deal. Like she was a merchant of this, sold it to high-end, it's a high-end cloth to high-end people. And she also worshiped God. And then it says, as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household then, after hearing all of this about Jesus, because Paul is just like a madman preaching about Jesus, they were baptized, and then she asked us to be her guests. She said, if you agree that I am now a true believer in the Lord, come and stay at my home. And there must have been one of those battles. No, it's okay. You know, we got a place over here. It says she urged us. I mean, I guess women are good at this too, right? She urged us until we agreed. So they go. Meanwhile, as the days now, whatever they're doing around the community are going on, it says in Acts 16, 16 through 39, not going to read the whole thing to you, but let me tell you what is happening. Lydia has opened her home, and everything takes this turn. They meet, Paul and the crew, the partners, meet a slave girl who had a demonic spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her captors, and so Paul is getting annoyed with this demonic girl because she is following them around. This is what's kind of crazy. And she is constantly saying, I can just imagine Paul and Silas and whoever else are trying to walk around town, share the gospel. And this crazy lady is behind him saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved, which is a true statement. But it says in there that he gets just frustrated with this constantly going on. So he turns around and he casts the demon out of the slave girl. Well, who gets upset? Her captors. She's been making a ton of money for them. And now she's healed and all her money and revenue is gone. So they go and complain to the authorities. And they say, this dude is walking around town, Paul, and he is creating a ruckus in town, a problem for all of us. And guess what they do? They throw him in jail. Paul and Silas get put in prison. They're beaten. They're locked in chains. But here's what happens. In the evening, it says this. Instead of complaining, they prayed and sang hymns. Like, we have done a hymn session today. Maybe pulled out a banjo and did like, How Great Thou Art. Some of you are probably ready to fall right down on the ground. And one, probably someone here said, finally, a hymn that I know. And the rest are like, How Great Thou Art. The only better would have been done Amazing Grace. Maybe you should come back up in a minute and do that, right? But the old version. Instead of complaining, they pray. They sing hymns in the middle of the night. All the prisoners are listening. God sends an earthquake. It shakes the whole place. You know what's crazy? It opens every door. This is like something some of you are getting familiar now. Like, I've heard this before. It broke all the chains off of all the prisoners. The jailer is freaking out, because he knows that all these prisoners are going to escape into the community. He is ready, it says, to kill himself. Paul stops him, and he tells him, no one has left. No one has escaped. The doors are open, the chains are off, but everyone is still there. It impacts the jailer so much that immediately he believes in Jesus, and then he and his household are baptized and saved. The next day, like, they don't all leave. It even says the jailer cleans up their wounds and helps them. And the next morning, the city officials realize they'd made an illegal imprisonment of a Roman citizen, Paul. They apologize and they ask them, would you just get out of here? Leave the city. All right. Where does Paul and Silas go before they leave Philippi? Not the marketplace, not a church, not a synagogue. He goes back, Acts 16:40. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. And what did they do? They met with the believers and encouraged them once more, and then they left town. When you step back and look at all of Acts 16, there is many truths in there, but one of them that begins to emerge is long before Lydia made room for God, God was already making room in Lydia. That's really the story of Acts 16. It may be some form of a pattern of our Christian lives when we follow Jesus. God makes room for us so that we can then make room for others. God keeps making room, and he still does that today, 2,000 years later. So I'm going to propose four moves, four ways that God makes room. Number one, God makes room ahead of us. So in the story in Acts 16, 6 through 13, we find someone like Lydia. How does God find us? His providence. Before God opened Lydia's heart, he first rearranged Paul's plans. Like, he is working behind the scenes ahead of us. You saw there in the story, closed door, closed door, closed door, then Macedonia, then Philippi. Sometimes God's no, it's not rejection, it's actually redirection in the place where God wants to take you. Sometimes God rearranges everything, his plans. Oh, no, your plans. Because he's preparing someone else's miracle. In your notes, God often prepares the way before we ever see it. Have you ever been frustrated by a closed door? All the time. And maybe God wasn't stopping you. Maybe he was just steering you. Like, instantly pops in, like, God, isn't it that older song, God, take the wheel, or something like that? Paul crossed into Macedonia, and he's looking for one man, but God was already preparing one woman. God's answers don't always arrive the way we imagined. Paul expected something, and a man, and God gave him Lydia. So one of the things that I would tell you is to trust the closed doors as much as the open ones. God made room ahead of Lydia before she ever knew it. But the real miracle wasn't just that Paul arrived in Philippi, it's what was happening inside of Lydia. So how does God change someone like Lydia? Knowing he's working ahead of us, how does he change someone like us? Well, this is number two, through his grace. For this is how God makes room in us. In Acts 16, 14, we see this all play up where God opens her heart. Luke doesn't say Lydia figured it out or Paul convinced her. He says the Lord opened her heart. God opened. Lydia responded. We've talked about that a couple times in some of the characters that we have looked at in God's word. Notice who acts first. God. I think salvation always probably begins with some form of grace. We may not always realize it. But grace isn't God's reward for seeking him. Grace is really God moving toward us, maybe even before we ever move toward him. That's important. Because a lot of us think we're not going to receive the grace until we get our act together. One of the things that can fill up your space, your mind, your heart, is religion. Only Jesus can transform your heart. And when he transforms your heart, he changes then your whole life. Lydia was already religious. We saw that. She's down there praying probably a little bit. Says she worshiped God, but she didn't know about Jesus. She didn't know the transforming work that he wanted to do. She did not know the story of Paul. She's seeking, but hear me, religion is not enough. She attended prayer meetings, obviously. She was sincere. But sincerity isn't the same as salvation. She needed the saving work of Jesus just as much as anyone else. And only the Lord could open her heart. And maybe you've been around church for a long time, for years. Maybe you have even known about God. But But do you know about Jesus? Well, let me say it this way. Do you know Jesus? Notice what happens immediately after God opens her heart. He begins opening an entire life. She opens her home, opens her resources up, opens her influence. In your notes, when God opens our hearts, he changes our lives. Grace never stops with an open heart. It always produces an open life. And that's exactly then what we see next in this story. Number three is that God makes room then through us, ahead of us, in us, and then through us. This is Acts 16, 15. How does he use someone like Lydia? How does he use me? This is me then participating. I said it earlier, joining him in what he's already doing. Look at what happens in her life. She's saved. She's baptized. And then she doesn't delay. She doesn't negotiate. She simply makes room and opens up her whole life to what God wanted to do. For when God changes our lives, he makes room in your notes for others. It's a good sign of kind of where we stand. Not our perfection as much as one of the many fruits is, are we open to others? People think this around hospitality. We do a class on hospitality. So then you start thinking, oh man, I got to go to Pinterest. Got to start getting down okay, there's the setup I need. Oh my gosh, this party's going to be so awesome. And you've got 5,000 Pinterest saves, you know, I don't know if dudes do this. Do some of you guys do this, man? With man caves and, you know, and, okay, we'll stop there. But Pinterest, fancy meals, perfect furniture. But what we're learning is in the class and a lot more is hospitality in Scripture isn't impressing people. It's really making room for people. They experience them, people do around your dinner table, in your home, in your neighborhood, at your job, in a coffee shop. You don't always have to think of people coming to your house because some of us don't want you in our house. Just to free us up a little bit. It's not just that. Don't put it all into that. That's important too, but it could play out in many ways. Do you know that Lydia's home becomes the first meeting place for the church in Europe? Paul planted the church. I don't know who said it, but I thought it was great. Lydia gave it an address. Paul brought the gospel to Philippi. Lydia gave the gospel a home. Now think about this with me. You can even do more later on. Think about Lydia's living room, her space. She's opened up. She's invited Paul in, and we'll get there in a little bit of what happens at the end as well. We read it. She opens it up again, and it says that Paul went there and encouraged the believers. So there's more than just Lydia in the house. Look around in the house, if you can imagine. Who's there? Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman. I have no doubt there is a former demonic slave girl there, freed from all that. I doubt her captors showed up, but maybe protesting outside. There's a Roman jailer with his family. And who knows, but maybe some of those prisoners, when their doors were open, chains broke away and they could have left. But because of the influence of Paul and Silas singing and praying and the whole experience, maybe in that living room with Lydia, some more prisoners. Listen, only the gospel brings that kind of crowd together. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus, who has transformed the life, who is always working ahead of us, who is then working in us, and then as we do that, works through us for others. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. So you know what that means? There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus is the key. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Praise God, the gospel tears down walls, opens doors. I wonder who needs room at your table. Don't just think your physical table. I mean, just in your life. Who needs room at our table? Here at Journey. A neighbor? Is it a student? A single mom? Someone grieving? A recovering addict? Someone completely different than you and I? Ministry does not usually begin here on a platform. Often, and it seems a lot in Scripture, it begins around some form of a table. Some form of connection. For people, because of God's grace and that he's already working, people often experience Jesus way before a Sunday morning. Lydia had no idea what one open heart, then an open home would become. Why would Luke even spend time on this woman? Because she wasn't spectacular. She was faithful. We often think God changes the world through famous people, and he does that sometimes. But Luke reminds us sometimes he changes the world through a businesswoman who simply opens her door. And you notice, maybe you can read through 16, chapter 16, on your own later and think through that. God closed missionary doors, then he opens Lydia's heart like a door. Lydia opened her home. God opens the prison doors. Lydia's open home became an open church. Every door God opened became another doorway for the gospel. Even the closed, it's crazy, even the closed ones. Like, if I looked at some of the closed doors that have happened in my life as some form of God working in the gospel and the gospel going, I think it would change my perspective. That no just meant there's a yes out there. Like, even with a building, one came up recently, and I went and drove in, and then some of you know I've gotten in trouble for going on people's property and praying over it. Yeah. Like, literally, I got a phone call that said, stop doing that, Ron. And then one of them was, I was in the parking lot, and I thought at first it was a voice from heaven. It was way up in a tree. I thought it was something else. And they said, can I help you? And I said, no, I'm good, man. And I kept, you know, doing my thing. And then the guy was persistent, and then I got in trouble and got a phone call from another person from the church. So now I just sneak in there. I saw this building, I drove over there, I looked at it, I called Jake, and all this stuff was happening. I'm like, this is it, man. I was pumped. I'm like, this is it, man. Oh. And then you go right down the street, and there's a sign from a business that says, we're moving down the street. They took our building, ruined everything. Every door God opened became another doorway for the gospel. Just to close one doesn't mean it's over. And maybe it's even God getting us on the right track. For God kept, we see that in 16, opening doors until the gospel entered an entire continent. Hear me, an entire continent. Because of Lydia, she seemed to be the front door of the church. The first church in Europe doesn't begin with a sermon, a crusade, with a building, with a miracle. I mean, you could make a case that a lot of it came out of that, sure, but it seems to begin with one woman God opening her heart, and then she was open to others and invited them in. Lydia had no idea that that one open home, what it would become. She thought she'd just open her home for some travelers. But she actually is opening the door for generations. And this is the last one, number four. God makes room beyond us. So he's always working ahead of us. He wants to then work in us. You should start there, right? Don't hear today that, great, now I got to invite people into my house, do some cool Pinterest thing, make a great meal, right? And don't hear that. You can do that. But you know what? I think a lot of what God wants to do first, hear me, is just work on you. And that's okay. That's the better place to start. And let him do the rest. Join him in it. But he's always then working in us, then through us, and going beyond us. This is Acts 16:40. What kind of legacy does a life like Lydia leave behind? And how does God outlive us? It's through legacy. But hear this. This was really cool. I want to explore this more. But Paul leaves. Lydia stays. I think that's a story of a lot of kingdom work. The missionaries who are awesome and get remembered most leave often. Nothing wrong with that. Just the truth. The faithful people who stay often don't get that kind of credit. Missionaries would come and go. Lydia remained. Most of God's work seems to be built by people who stay faithful long after the excitement is gone. Okay, let me just pause here. 6 months ago, we gave, for us at Journey, a large, substantial amount of money. I think it was $14,000 plus in 1 month, above all of our giving. Even for me, knowing a building's coming up, you're like, oh man, oof. Like that's a lot that we could put into something, right? Praise God for his grace and goodness. We just got a report. Remember, we had, I think, 2 adult literacy classes, 2 kids' Bible clubs, and 3 church plants that we supported, fully funded for a year in India. You remember Brent and I went to India in November. 6 month report, adult literacy classes, where men and women learn how to read and write, other health skills, and the way they learn to read and write, they don't know it because the references aren't, I mean, they might know it at some point, but because it's stuff illegal there, it's actually scripture, just not the reference. It's awesome. It's tricky, man. I like it. Do you know that 360 people are signed up for that year-long class that have been coming? And hear this, 20 of them accepted Jesus. In our 2 kids' Bible clubs that you have supported for now 6 months, 435 kids are going daily for a year. In our 3 church plants, Our areas of India where we support are some of the hardest in the whole country. Many of the pastors thrown in prison. We met some when we were there. 14 people have accepted Christ, and 183 families have been reached through these church plants. And they will go on over the next 6 months to probably plant other churches. Keep praying for them, and I just want to say thank you for what you do, and as you open up your recesses, your doors, your heart, start there, it's a legacy that is left. For those people that stay, we get to participate, but they are planted in there, staying there. For Lydia, her home became the church, the gathering place, the encouragement center, the launching pad. Hear this. This is awesome. Go to Philippians 1, 3 through 6. It's also on the screen. The letter of Philippians is written to the church in Philippi. All right? the church in Philippi is Lydia and this community. Look at what Paul writes. He writes to him later on. The whole book of Philippians, now I've told you to read all of Acts, read Philippians, but the whole book of Philippians, awesome. Paul writes to them. I mean, do you think that they opened this letter and Lydia was there and the slave girl was there and the jailer and his family and it's grown and some of the prisoners and all that, they're sitting there and Paul writes, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Hear this, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it on the beach shore of that river until now. And hear this, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day, and this is legacy, on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Oh, at the end of 4, Paul even says, it's not on the screen, but 4:15, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on. You'll see that later in 16:17. From Macedonia, no other church did this. Why? Because one woman whose heart was opened by God began to open up then her life, her resources, her home. And it leaves a legacy. Philippians, that church becomes one of the healthiest and most generous churches in the New Testament. That legacy traces back to one woman who was transformed by Jesus and simply said, hey, come stay at my home. And had to deal with the dude going, nah, we're good, man. We got a bag, sleeping bag down by that big old tree over there. We're good. No, come to my house. Probably put a little guilt and shame on him. Hey, listen, if I've really given my life to Jesus, you'll come to my house. Oh, crud. You pulled the God thing out? Come on, man. Revival often begins through people who are willing to go, to open. It continues through people who are willing to stay. Ordinary faithfulness leaves an extraordinary legacy. At most kingdom work, it's not spectacular. I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of it is it's just showing up. Just show up, man. Do the next thing. Remember I said, just say yes to what God has revealed to you now. It's opening maybe your home, serving consistently, giving generously, making room again and again and again and again. Worship team can come. Imagine walking through Philippi 20 years later. This is what we want to give to here when we think about it. This is what we desire. Children are learning about Jesus. The jailer's kids are growing up. They've known and experienced Christ. Families are worshiping together. Missionaries are being sent out. Paul's letter is being read aloud, and someone asked, how did this church begin? Tell us the beginning place. Where did this all start? Was it a big fancy building, a cathedral? No. Was it a celebrity preacher? No. Massive event. There had to be like some tent revival going on. No. Who? That's that woman right there. Lydia? Yeah, she opened up her heart, life to God. God changed her. And so she unlocked her front door, and we showed up. She let us in. Heaven never overlooks that ordinary faithfulness, even though history sometimes does. Lydia probably never imagined what God would do with one simple act of obedience. And so what about you? I'm going to ask this question. Where is God asking you to make room this week? And maybe to add to it, what has crowded your life so completely that Jesus no longer has room to lead it? Is it something in your schedule? Something around your table? Finances, business, maybe something in your neighborhood? Is it simply just saying the next yes to God and what he's inviting you to? And maybe the room that God wants is not your home or your schedule. I mean, I think he wants that too, but it's for a starting place, just your heart. Like your next yes is to just say yes to Jesus. Yeah, I don't know everything. So? We'll help you with that. Lydia didn't change because she tried harder. She changed because the Lord opened her heart. So if you have never trusted Christ, maybe this is today for you. For he's not looking for extraordinary people. He's looking for ordinary people who will make room for him. Because one heart opened by God can open a home, open a church, open a community, can reach the gospel into that community and church and home. And maybe it could change a whole continent. Like maybe revival starts that we pray for. Isn't that one of the things that we're always praying for? Revival, revival, revival. God, come, come, come. Like he's not showing up. Maybe it's just you, starting right there. I think I'll open my heart to him. Because a heart opened by God becomes a life opened by God. All right, stand with me, will you? We're going to sing a song. It actually talks about making room. Sit in it a little bit. If you want prayer, some of us will be here. If you want prayer, some of us will be here. If you want, need prayer, some of us will be where? Here. Which means you got to do this. Walk up and go, I need Jesus. Or would you just pray with me? I don't know what to do. Things feel too broken. Or whatever it is. Whatever he's inviting you to. We'd love to pray with you. You can also fill out a card and put it in the box or let us know through an email. All fantastic. But today, if you need prayer during this song, right? For the rest of you, maybe there's some place where he wants to make room, so open that up to him. Hey, Father, I just spend too much time on this. Or I need to kind of set this aside. Or I'm full. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to clean this up. I don't know what to get rid of. Or I'm just so broken, I don't even know where to start. I don't know. We're here. You're there. Just talk to God about it. That's great. All right? Terry's here. Pastor Dennis is over there. I'll be here just during part of the song. All right? Father, today, thank you so much for your love, your goodness, your grace. Thank you for opening hearts, changing lives, and all the other beautiful things you do. Continue to do that in us now as we continue to worship you. And thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray, amen.